Well, good morning, everybody. We have a special treat for you today. We have a special guest speaker, Don Butler from Pennsylvania. He's from the affiliated with the Gideons. He's going to share his heart and share his share what's on his heart.
All right. Well, good morning. What an absolutely beautiful morning to be in the house of the Lord praising our glorious Heavenly Father. Amen. And what an honor and a pleasure it is to be with you all this morning to share with you a little bit about Gideon's International. Before I get rolling, though, I always like to make sure I came to the right place. Now, I do that by asking a couple of simple questions. Now, they are easy questions, but they do, however, require an answer. So let's get rolling with this first question. Do we have any Christians in the sanctuary this morning? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Right now, everybody should be reaching for the heavens. You're pleased to be a child of God. Let it show. Amen? All right. Now, second question. It's a little bit easier. It does require an answer. Do we have any sinners in the sanctuary this morning? Raise your hand if you're a sinner. Right now, everybody should have a hand raised. Maybe not quite as high. But Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Are we in Christ Jesus this morning? Raise your hands if you're in Christ Jesus. All right, you're in great company. You know what? I believe I came to the right place. Well, as your pastor said, my name is Don Butler. I'm pleased to tell you that I'm a Gideon. I'm pleased to be a Gideon because Gideon's International is all about God's Word. And we know that God's Word generates life, creates faith, produces change, frightens the devil, causes miracles, heals, hurts, builds character, transforms circumstances, imparts joy, overcomes adversity, defeats temptation, infuses hope, releases power, spreads our minds, brings things to being, and guarantees our future forever. We cannot live without the Word of God. Amen? All right, that's a mouthful. Most of you who are familiar with Gideon's, most of you know that we're a men's ministry. We're dedicated to evangelism and Bible distribution. There's less than 300,000 of us worldwide. We're the folks that place all those Bibles in hotels and motels and hospitals and prisons, on cruise ships and in nursing homes and many other traffic lanes of life. We're credited with having distributed over 2 billion Bibles in over 200 countries and 107 languages throughout the world. The primary mission of a Gideon, to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. We do that by placing the precious Word of God into the hands and hearts of peoples everywhere. Right now, in small villages in third world countries, there are men, there are women, there are children, and they're holding one of these, and it is their most valued and treasured possession. And not so much because it may be their only possession, but because it contains the precious written Word of God. You know, it took us 20 years to distribute our first 1 million Bibles. 20 years to distribute 1 million Bibles. Now we're distributing 1 million Bibles every 4 days. Every 4 days, 1 million Bibles. That means by next Monday, 1 week from tomorrow, we will have distributed another 2 million Bibles. And when I say we, I do not mean we us Gideons. I mean we, you and folks like you and your church and churches like yours that have generously supported Gideons over the years, making it possible for us to do what it is that we do. We couldn't do what we do without you. So from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of Gideon's International, I thank each and every one of you for the support you have provided over the years. And know that every time we place one of these testaments or one of these Bibles, that is an extension arm of your church and your ministry, you are there. You have had a hand in it. And again, I thank you all so much. I'd like to share with you a couple testimonies about these Bibles. I'm just trying to figure out which one I want to share first. You know, there was a handful of Gideons decided to go to a high school. It was a school in a small community, so it wasn't just a high school. It was a school of all grades, so all ages are in that school. But a handful of Gideons decided to go there, hand out these testaments, a Bible distribution, it's called. Well, when they got there, they weren't authorized to go on the high school or on the school property. So what they did, they stood on every corner of each street that led to and from the school. And they anxiously waited for the bell to ring. When dismissal took place, just like that, the corners were filled with people rushing from every direction of all ages. Little did the Gideons know it at that time, but just several blocks away was a troubled young mother with a loaded pistol. She walked into her closet. She closed the door behind her. As she was raising that gun to her head, she said, "God, if there's a single reason why I shouldn't do this, tell me now." At that moment, the front door burst open. Her young son come running into the house yelling, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, look what the man gave me." So anxious, unable to wait to show his mommy the little Bible that the man down the street had just handed him. A life spared, a soul saved, a family healed because of one small testament in the hands of a small boy, God's perfect timing, and a handful of Gideons willing to give freely of their time to distribute those Bibles. Share with you another testimony. Another handful of Gideons went to Columbia, a small mining town in Columbia, to do a Bible distribution. A little different this time because they were all able to get into the school there. Everybody of all ages, faculty, everybody received one of these testaments. Small Colombian girl got one. She started reading it immediately. She fell so in love with God's Word, she couldn't put it down. She had chores to do at home, and every time she was supposed to be doing her chores, her dad would look over, and there she'd be reading the Bible. Her dad would have to tell her, "Put that down. We got chores to do." But every time he looked over, she'd be reading. He says, "Put that down. It's not true anyway." She put it down. The next morning when he went to leave for work, he looked over and the young daughter was there reading God's Word. He knew that she wasn't going to get her chores done that day, so he took that testament from her, he placed it in his pocket, and he went to coal mines to work. About 5 hours later, sirens and whistles started to blow. There was a cave-in at the mine. 31 men were trapped in that mine. It took rescuers 5 days to reach them. The air supply had been long run out. All 31 of them had perished. When he found the little girl's father, he was still kneeling in the praying position with that Bible clutched between his praying hands. Now, if you all are familiar with these little testaments, in the very back, there's the prayer of salvation, a place where you sign when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When they opened the Bible up to that back page there, his signature was on that page. And if you're familiar with these little testaments, the page just forward of that back page, as there's a blank page. On that page was a note to his daughter. "My dearest daughter, please continue reading. It's all true, Father." Below that note, 30 more signatures. all 31 men who perished in that mine collapse had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of that one little testament at the right place at the right time. That's what Gideon's is all about. You see, and you see, only our God in heaven knows for sure how many lives have been spared, how many souls have been saved, how many families have been healed, because it was a copy of God's precious word where it needed to be, when it needed to be there. You know, there are hundreds of testimonies I could share with you about people who were in great despair, on the precipice of taking their own life, headed to a would-be grave, and then after having stumbled across the Gideon's Place Bible, their lives were spared, their souls were saved, and their lives were changed forever. But rather than continue to share with you testimonies of people you've never met and will never know, I'd like to share with you a little bit of my own testimony. I'd like to share my testimony with you because I know that every single one of you who's sitting here this morning have someone in your lives who's wearing the same shoes that I wore for so many years. I call those the lost years. You see, though I professed to be a Christian, I thought I was a Christian. I was lost. I didn't know I was lost. It's kind of like that old axiom, you don't know what you don't know. We have people in our lives who are lost. They don't know they're lost. They believe they're a Christian because they know who Christ is. They know who God is. But they don't have the relationship. They're lost. They don't know they're lost. And that was me for many years. See, during the lost years, if someone would have said, "Do you love the Lord?" I would have said, "Yes, yes, I love the Lord with all my heart." But that would have been an unintentional lie. You see, I loved me more than I loved the Lord. I was living my life to please me, without regard to whether I was honoring God, praising God, glorifying God, pleasing God, or whether I was offending God. And I offended God an awful lot throughout my life. We all have folks in our lives right now who are lost. They don't know they're lost. See, during the last years, if someone would have said, "Are you a Christian?" You see, I got saved when I was 8 years old. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was 8 years old, but I didn't really know what I was doing, and I didn't make that commitment to Christ that we need to make. Now, and I love the Lord, but not as much as I thought I did. I wasn't a total pagan. I've written songs and poems to, for, and about the Lord all my life. I have hundreds of them. But I wasn't the Christian that I professed to be. But during the lost years, if someone would have said, "Are you a Christian?" I would have said, "Yes, yes, of course I'm a Christian." If they would have said, "Well, how do you know you're a Christian?" I said, "Oh, didn't know that question was coming. Could you repeat the question, please?" Isn't that what we do when we don't have the answer right away? How do you know you're a Christian? Well, during the lost years, I'd have said, "Well, because I know there is one God. He created the heavens and the earth and everything within. I know that John 1:1 says, 'In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.' And John 1:14 says, 'And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.'" And right there you could put a big old set of parentheses and say, "Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, was born and dwelt among us." I know Jesus was born around 6 B.C., I know that because I know King Herod died in 4 B.C. and we all know the stories of King Herod. I know Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world, to bring us life and to bring it more abundantly. I know that he ordained 12 of his disciples to be the apostles, to assist him in sharing the gospel. I know that he died on a cross, was crucified. He was placed in Joseph's tomb and this huge rock placed in front of the tomb. And then 3 days later, Christ rose just like he said he would. That huge rock had been removed from in front of the tomb. And it wasn't removed so Jesus could come out. He didn't need that. It was removed so that we could go in, we could look, and we could see, and we could know without a doubt Christ had risen just like he said he would. I know they remained with us another 40 days, teaching us what we needed to know. And after 40 days, he ascended into heaven. Before he ascended into heaven, he said, I will send you a helper. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit descended upon us. And his disciples, his apostles, continued to share the gospel. I know that the young Roman soldiers stood and watched in agreement as they stoned poor Stephen to death. But then on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Christ Jesus. And a young Roman soldier, Saul, became the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apostles of all. I know that the Apostle John was the very last apostle to go to heaven to be with Jesus. But that it wasn't the end of our church history. It was just the beginning, because we had the next generation of disciples, the apostolic fathers. Men like Polycarp of Smyrna, Clement of Rome, Ignatius of Antioch, and many, many, many others who were so instrumental in the foundation of our Christianity. And there's so much I could share about those, but I'm not going to get into all that today. I will share with you, though, that Ignatius is out of Antioch. A lot of you probably know that Antioch was actually considered, and is actually considered, the cradle of Christianity, because the word Christian emerged out of Antioch, as did the word bishop, which means overseer, and the word Catholic, which means universal church. The point I'm making here is that I knew a lot about God, about Christ, about the disciples, about the apostolic fathers. But see, being a Christian is not about what you know. It's about who you know. It's about a relationship and a way of life. See, we have people in our lives right now that know who Christ is, know who God is. Satan knows who Christ is. Satan knows who God is. He's no Christian. See, just because they know who Christ is, just because they know who God is, doesn't make them a Christian. You have to have that personal relationship with God, with Christ. And we have folks in our lives who are lost, don't know they're lost. They profess to be a Christian because they believe they are a Christian. It's incumbent upon us, each and every one of us, to help them find their way. What does Matthew 28:18 say? And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey the commands that I have given you, and behold, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Who was he talking to? The disciples of that day and the disciples of all time. He was talking to you and to me. The Great Commission is upon all of us. Earlier I said the primary mission of a Gideon is to bring the lost to Jesus Christ, but shouldn't that be the primary mission of each and every one of us? See, I have good friends of mine. I say, hey, what is your goal? They say, oh, my goal was to get to heaven someday. That's not your goal, folks. That's the reward. Your goal is to be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday, and to be more like Jesus tomorrow than you were today, and to bring those folks in your sphere of influence along with you. How do we do that? We do that by sharing the gospel with them and by inviting them to church. You know, every now and then I don't get to my own home church very often because I'm out on the road a lot, really out on the road a lot when I'm in Pennsylvania. Just out here visiting right now. I don't get to my home church a lot. But now and then I'll get there and there'll be a new person at church. And I'm actually using one example here. But anyway, I always walk up, say hello, introduce myself. A new gentleman there at church. And got his name and all that. Gave him my name. And I said, wow, glad to see you come to the Word of Life Fellowship. Where do you live? Oh, I just live 3 miles down the road. Oh, great. How long have you lived there? Oh, I've lived there all my life. You lived there all your life and you're just now coming to Word of Life Fellowship? What took you so long to come? Why didn't you come before? You know what the answer was? Nobody ever asked me. Nobody ever asked me. When was the last time y'all asked someone to come to church that's not a normal every Sunday go to church person? Someone you know that's lost, they don't know they're lost. Someone that you're trying to get going the right direction. See, it's incumbent upon all of us. But we get complacent. We get lazy. We think, oh, all I have to do is I'll show up at church on Sunday and that. We do need to do that. But we need to invite other folks along with us. See the folks in our lives that are lost. What does Matthew 6:33 say? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All things will be made unto you. But if they aren't reading the Word, if they aren't coming to church, if they aren't fellowshipping with other Christians, how are they ever going to know what the true holiness and righteousness of God is? Folks, we need to get them to come to church with us. We need to share those miracles that happen in our lives every day. The providence of God that we often take for granted is happening to us every moment of every day. God's throwing providence in our lap that we just don't even recognize. And you all know what I'm talking about. You all have experienced it. But we need to share those things with those people who are lost. We need to help them find their way. It's extremely important we do that. We have folks in our lives that say, look, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Going to church doesn't make me a Christian. Well, both of those statements could possibly be true. But if you are a Christian, you will be going to church, and going to church will make you a better Christian. Amen? We have folks in our lives that say, look, I'm a good person. I don't lie, cheat, steal. I'm a good person. I get to heaven. What does Ephesians 2:8 say? For by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of good works, lest any man should boast. Well, if someone says, I'm a good person, I'll get to heaven, what are they saying? They're boasting, saying, I'm a good person, I'll get to heaven by works. And we know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one come to the Father except through me. They're not going to get to heaven, folks, if they think they're going to get there by works. They're lost. They don't know they're lost. And it's coming upon each and every one of us to help them find their way. You know, back home sometimes I'll have someone I'm trying to get to church, because some people are just stubborn. You all know that. I'll have some folks trying to get to church say, hey, Sunday I'm going to Hostess for lunch. You want to join me? My treat. I'm buying. Sure, I'll come with you. All right. I pick up around 9. 9? Why so early? I got to make a stop along the way. I didn't say I wasn't going to church first. They just said I was going to Hostess and for lunch. Folks, you got to get them to church. You got to get them coming to church. These pews should be filled with folks. We have a lot of folks in our lives that we love and care about. But there are those folks who say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Going to church doesn't make me a Christian. They think I can get to heaven on good works. If you care about them at all, and we're supposed to care about every human being, and we do, then it's coming upon us to help them find their way. I kind of got off the Gideon track there a little bit. I'd like to share with you another testimony. There was a young woman in great despair. Her disparity is such that she felt there was only one way to escape that disparity. So one very cold, lonely, dark night, with a full bottle of pills in her purse, she checked into a motel room. She pulled that bottle of pills from the purse. She placed it there on the nightstand. Now, as she sat there on the edge of the bed, staring at that bottle of pills, contemplating the awful thing that she was about to do, she happened to notice that Gideon-placed Bible there in the nightstand. She pulled it out. She opened it up. She started to read. I'd like to think she was reading something like John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. She continued to read. That moment of life spared, soul saved. Because somewhere there was a Gideon who cared enough to place that Bible in that hotel room. Because somewhere there were folks just like you that cared enough to support Gideon's International, making it possible. Because somewhere there was a wonderful pastor like your pastor, Linda and Wayne, who shared the pulpit with a Gideon so that we could share with you who we are and what we're all about. That's what Gideon's is all about. I thank you all for allowing me to share with you today. And there's a whole lot more with Gideon's that to be shared, but I've taken enough time. But if any of you men And we do have a woman's auxiliary, too, and I apologize if I didn't mention that. We do have ladies as well. But if any of you men would be interested in becoming a Gideon, see me after the service, and I'll talk to you about it. I don't think we have a Gideon camp close by, but Quartzsite would be a wonderful place to start a new Gideon camp. But it takes men like you sitting here to get that ruling. And I'd love to see that happen. It's a great ministry. I'd ask that you bow your heads, please. Oh, Lord, as the days pass and the years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles, Lord, fill our eyes with seeing, our minds with knowing. Let there be moments when your presence like lightning illuminates the darkness in which we walk. Help us to see wherever we gaze that the bush burns unconsumed, and that we, clay touched by God, will reach out in holiness and exclaim in wonder, how filled with awe is this place, and we did not know it. Almighty, merciful, gracious, and glorious Heavenly Father, let your words fill our memories, rule our hearts, and guide our feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.